you for tuning in to the Epiphany program on Holy Family Radio with your host, Deacon Louis Zemlich. I'm your program producer, Luke Zemlich. On Epiphany, our goal is to have a moment, an epiphany that will bring us all closer to God. So stick around to have an epiphany with us.
Welcome to the Epiphany Radio Program. My name is Deacon Louis Zemlich, and we're here on Holy Family Radio in the Diocese of Kalamazoo and the Diocese of Grand Rapids. We have some special guests with us today during this Advent season, during this Christmas season. We have Fran Denny, who is the Executive Director at Catholic Charities. We also have Janine, who is the Volunteer Coordinator, and Ben, who is the Director of ARC Services. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Deacon Louis.
It's good to have you all here for another program here.
Thank you.
We did a program earlier, probably a couple of weeks ago. You heard that. And we've got another program on today, which is some different content, some other programs that are going on. Just great stuff that you can do for Catholic Charities in the Diocese of Kalamazoo, helping young mothers, helping their babies, helping people who are displaced, who are homeless, who really need your help, as well as the elderly with Baraga. Am I saying that?
Baraga.
Baraga Manor, which is in Otsego, which is a place that serves the elderly and people who are of that age, retirement age. There's a certain age on up that you have to be in.
62
on up. So, welcome. So it's good to have you here. And we're going to start off with Ben, who is the director of ARC Services. Ben, why don't you, you can tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to ARC Services.
How I came to ARC Services.
Yeah, that would be
right.
Good.
It's been a while since somebody's asked me that story.
Hi.
So, and ironically, on the way up here, Janine and I were talking about my early college days at Saginaw Valley State University, which is the area of the state where I'm from.
Very good.
I ended up transferring to Western, getting a degree in education.
Wonderful.
And then the job market for teachers wasn't what I exactly wanted it to be at that point in time. And I started looking around for some other options and looking out of state. And this job appeared.
Wonderful.
And it's history from there. So I went on for my master's in social work, and I've been here for 7.5 years now.
Wow.
Yeah, well, he didn't tell
years.
You that it came in at an entry-level job, and now, and then he got promoted, and then he got promoted, and then he got
That's
promoted.
Great.
Now he's
well, good.
The head of the director of all the art.
That's wonderful. Well,
you.
7 years is a good while, but you're the you're the boss now.
Yep.
Yeah. So good.
Does a great job.
And I bet you do, because you're familiar with all from the ground up, you're familiar with how things run and how things operate there at the ARC. So can you tell us some of the needs, you know, the purpose of your programs? We got a list here of, you know, what the ARC shelter's about. What does the ARC do in the Diocese of Kalamazoo?
Well, the ARC Shelter, as you mentioned, is the most commonly known program. Most people have heard of it, or, you know, if they've heard of the ARC, they know about the shelter, which is located in Kalamazoo. And that serves 10 to 17-year-olds, meeting their very basic emergency needs. So quite often that's shelter.
It
can also include food, clothing, access to health care, counseling, whatever else service might be needed. Those immediate needs need to be met. And coordinating with the family to make that return to home a safe and stable one.
And you really, you guys really try to work that out. You try to work out what the difficulty is that's going on in the family.
Right.
And
exactly.
What is that a good percentage, would you say, half of the time? Or what do you think?
I don't have the exact figure on that. I do. Okay. I can say that 95% of our youth exit to safe and stable environment when they leave.
Praise God, that's pretty good.
So many of those are reunified.
Okay.
With their families, there's something going on at home. They need some help. They need some intervention of some sort.
Okay.
To take away that risk that youth might run away or become homeless because of the difficulties at home. Others move on either to our transitional living program or to other alternative living arrangements that we've worked out with the family.
Okay.
Some go into other programs. Some go into job training programs. That's a pretty common one for us. Or they work out something with a friend or a relative that
you
this
bet.
Is where they're going to go.
So during this holiday season, during the Advent, the Christmas season, do you see a rise? Do you see a spike in and kids coming to the ARC? Does that happen, or is it just pretty consistent all year long? Fran wants to make a suggestion.
Yeah, I want to tell you what I've seen a spike in.
Absolutely.
Because I've been, 26 years at the agency, and we've operated the ARC shelter all those years. And what has happened in the last 5 or 6 or 7 years is that on Christmas Day, we have kids who have no place to go.
Okay.
And we have kids who have parents who say, I'll pick you up, and never show up. So that is just, it's just heartbreaking.
Okay, so the parent says they're going to pick up the child at the ARC shelter on Christmas Day.
And then they never get there.
To spend Christmas with them, and they never show up.
Yeah.
That's heartbreaking.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is. It's very sad. So what we want to have at Christmas is we want them to have some nice presents. We want to make sure we have a good meal for them. We'd like to have some activities, whatever it is that we have a very diverse group of children.
Right.
So we're always having to plan things a little bit depending on who's in that group today.
Right.
And Ben will tell you more about that. But that is something that has been sad and startling to me.
Yeah, it is. Well, there's a lot of sickness, right? There's sickness that's within the family. Maybe even mental illness, reason why they're not very connecting.
Right.
They're
substance abuse.
Substance abuse, yeah. Mm-hmm. So they say they're going to do something. Or maybe they've got a good reason. Maybe the car is broken down. Maybe there was a fight at the house and the parent,
domestic violence.
Right, the mom or the dad decides, they'll be safer there than they will be coming here. Mm-hmm. And things change so fast in those families, too, where there's substance abuse involved. All of a sudden things can be okay in the morning, but then when the drinking or the drugging starts by mid-afternoon, everything's out of control again. And
that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what else, Ben, can you tell us? Now, I know there's the assistance and reunification of families, but you also had the ARC Outreach, too,
Yeah, we have two other big programs. ARC Outreach works with our whole population, which is from age 10 up until around age 21.
Okay.
In the entire diocese. So we cover all 9 counties in the diocese. And those workers do almost any and all of the above. They work to engage youth who might not be ready to participate in our services.
Okay.
As well as provide them with crisis intervention and some of those same services that they can get at the shelter, but providing that to them where they are.
Okay.
In their home communities, in their school, wherever they are at that point in time.
So how is that done? What does that look like? And I don't know if Janine is familiar with that too, as far as volunteers go, but the volunteers who actually go out and see if there's kids walking around that are homeless?
We have one very dedicated volunteer that assists our staff with that when they go out. I don't remember if Janine was involved in connecting her with us or how she came in.
You would have to mention her name.
So anyway, we have a volunteer that helps with that and has been very passionate, not just in finding the youth, but in helping us spread the word about our programs as
Very good.
She's always present for events when they happen.
So this is her mission. This is
very
this
much
is something
so.
That she has taken on.
Yeah.
She's a brave and courageous woman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Many people, kids who are living on the street.
Yeah.
They're a little bit afraid of those kids.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And she is not. She sees the need and she moves forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've often thought about this myself. When you see young people, standing around out in the park, that don't seem like they've got anywhere to go or they've, they're just milling around. What would you do? You have this person. What would you do? Go up to them and what would you say?
Well, you just start by having a conversation. Open that avenue of communication in some way to connect with them. And we usually start out by just letting them know who we are and what our services are. We're not trying to get them to come to us right now. We're not trying to get them to commit to anything. But here, take this, you know, we hand out some things. Here's a card, here's a water bottle, here's some things that might help you with all of our contact information contained in so that when they're ready, they can come back.
So are you looking for volunteers to be able to do this type of thing?
We do. We could use more volunteers to do that. As I said, we have one very dedicated volunteer.
Right.
We've had some funding changes, so it doesn't look the same as it did a few years ago, but our staff still try to get out a couple times a month and do that actual on-the-street work.
And we just received a grant from the Allegan United Way to enable us to do more of that work in Allegan. So we can... We can use people to help.
And Allegan County. And you guys know where the youth hang out and where, you know, places where they may stay.
And we have places that we tell them, you can come here. You can, we call it drop-in.
Right.
Yeah. Talk about the drop-ins because they.
That's another big part of what our outreach staff do. We have two drop-in centers in our own facilities in Kalamazoo every Monday at the Van Domlin Center from 3 to 5 p.m. And every Thursday at the ARC shelter, also from 3 to 5 p.m., there's an outreach worker there waiting and ready for whoever wants to come in and either just get information about our services, get access to food and other resources that they might need, get assistance with finding shelter if that's a big need. Many youth come in and they need assistance stabilizing things where they are, so they may be in need of income. They need help job searching. We can offer them the internet access to be able to assist with that.
Okay.
If they can't do their laundry and they need laundry facilities, we've got that there for them.
Okay.
If they need to take a shower because they've been out on the street or they've been couch hopping and they haven't had that, that option, they're able to do that. So it's kind of, you know, on the spot crisis intervention and case management all wrapped up into one.
Okay. Can you tell me again, when is that? It's from 3 to 5.
From 3 to 5 p.m. on every Monday. Every Monday that we're open at the Van Domlin Center.
Okay, and that's on Southwest.
On Southwest, the 1441 Southwest.
Yep, that's the
And then every Thursday at the ARC Shelter, which is located at 990 West Kilgore.
Near Hackett.
Right next to Hackett High School. Our driveway comes off Duke Street.
What day is that? That you have it at
Thursdays.
And that's on Thursdays.
Yeah.
At what time?
3 to 5 p.m.
Also from 3 to 5. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if a family member knows of one of their own family members who might be homeless and they know where they're hanging out or they're like, you know, they can offer up some hope to them that, hey, you know what? I know a place we can go this afternoon.
Right.
And they will assist you in trying to get you some help.
They can call us any time of the day or night.
Too. Okay.
We're open 24 hours.
All right, so they don't have to wait. They don't have to wait to that day.
No. But they'll know, you know, if they know that this is available, that's something that might be a real help.
And that's something, especially for the youth, if they have that in their pocket and they say, listen, it's Monday or it's Thursday, I can get over to this place. But they can also go directly over to the Caring Network on Gall Road. Can't they go over there and ask for assistance?
Anywhere. Yeah. You can come in anywhere.
Yeah.
And we'll help.
We'll give you the help you need.
You know, our idea and our hope on this is that there's no wrong door to come into our services.
Absolutely.
So we provide these drop-ins as one of those avenues. People can call us. The ARC Shelter phone line is answered 24/7.
Okay.
And that number locally is 269 343-8765. We also have a toll-free number, which is 800-873-8336. And there is somebody answering that phone 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Okay, that's great. Can you give us those numbers one more time?
Sure, 269-343-8765.
Okay.
And if you happen to be long distance and need a toll-free number, that is 800-873-8336.
Awesome. That's great.
And you can also go on the website and just make a contact through the website.
Absolutely. That is not what I want to stress to people is that's not going to be necessarily monitored 24 hours a day. But if you're just looking for information, you want to get it started, many people find us that way.
Absolutely.
The email link on our website, and then that gets forwarded on to the appropriate staff so that they
and
can
respond.
And that's
at Catholic Charities, so that would be ccdok.org.
Correct.
And you can go to that and click on the
Yep. And on the same note, you can also find us on Facebook, and we have youth contact us that way occasionally as well.
Very good.
You can send us a message through there if you're on social media, on phones or on iPods or whatever. You can get on it on almost anything anymore. That's another option.
Very good. So is there anything else on the outreach part of things that you want to talk about?
Yeah. I mentioned our two drop-ins at our facilities, but okay. We also work with other organizations and schools mainly across the diocese. And we have many, many drop-ins throughout the region where we go into some of the schools that we've identified that have high homeless populations.
Okay.
And the staff there know to direct them to us on the day that we're in their building.
Okay.
And many of our youth come in contact with our outreach workers through there.
Okay.
And it can be a long process. You know, once we start working, we give them this intense 90-day service to try to get them off the street and get them going. But it can take a long time to engage them to that point.
Yeah.
And an example to give is a young man that our outreach workers came through in a drop-in center in a school. When they first started working with him, he was living in an abandoned garage and coming to school every day. That was his safe haven. That was his safe place to be. And he came every week but would talk with them but didn't want them to do any, wasn't asking for help. It was a safe place to be and a safe place to talk.
Mm-hmm.
But it took him many months to actually engage help. At the time that he finally engaged in help, he was living with his girlfriend who was pregnant, and they were living in a tent in the woods now. It was summertime. It was warmer. And they really didn't have a concept of how to get out of that situation. When they were talking with our outreach workers, one of the things that struck us all, kind of like we didn't think about that, was that the young lady made a comment about, well, how are we going to fit this crib out here? Thinking that they would still be in the tent when the baby
right.
was born.
Yeah.
So, you know, such a long process, so many different things that went into helping that young couple. When they exited our services, he was working and they were in an apartment of their own that they
could
afford. So it didn't happen overnight. It was a long process, and our outreach workers deal with everything in between, you know, from those extreme situations to getting them stably housed and everything in between.
And I think people think that they're really alone, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I really do today. I mean, even people who go to church, mm-hmm. people do not ask for help.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's kind of sad. And, you know, I don't, you know, for some people, yeah, maybe it's pride or ego or that type of thing or you know, I don't want to ask for help. But what I really think it is they're afraid to be rejected. I think they're afraid that someone's going to say something mean to them, why are you asking me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think when, you know, there was a priest who was on Catholic radio was talking, you know, and he says, you know, this goes back to smiling at people, right? Mm-hmm. Smiling at people in the grocery store, whether they, you know, because what I always think about is I always think about Christ died for us first, right? He died for us first. Before we did anything,
mm-hmm.
he died for us, right? And the saying goes, you know, many people would die for a righteous man, but for an unrighteous man, he still died for us,
right?
So we need to smile at that person who does not smile at us.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
And that's the difference. Mm-hmm. That's Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I'm located at the Van Domelen Center Caring Network. And so on Mondays when I see the outreach staff come in to do, you know, the drop-in center, they make it feel very welcoming. So it's a great place for, you know, those who need it to come.
Yeah.
And from the volunteer standpoint, if I could add,
sure.
you know, I just want to make sure if people are interested in helping in this way, just to let them know you come in one day and you can volunteer the next hour, you know, because you are dealing with a vulnerable
yes.
population. We need to do our background checks. There's some training involved. So that can take a little bit, not real long, but it is something that we do to make sure they're safe and that also our clients are safe.
Yeah. And it's very necessary, too. Absolutely. Absolutely. All that training, especially, you know, in lieu of everything, all the craziness that goes on in the world and has gone on of recent time, you know, just the, you know, to make sure that people are safe, you know. And sometimes people, you know, who are not right themselves want to do something like that. But, right. you know, as the old saying goes, you can't give away what you don't have. Right. right? Mm-hmm. You can't give peace to someone if you're not at peace yourself.
Correct.
And if you're in turmoil or if you're in conflict, you need to settle yourself before you can, you know, help that next person. So, yeah, fascinating. So go ahead, Ben. Anything else? And as far as the outreach goes, or we can go on to the next subject too, if you'd like.
Well, but I think just the overall thing of outreach is doing just that, reaching out to the community as well as the youth that use our services.
Okay.
So our staff do a lot of coordination with other agencies across our region and collaborations with them, and just getting the word out that this is what homeless youth are all about.
Right.
This is what our services can provide, and this is how we can work together to assist them in the best way possible.
And so in this area, in the Diocese of Kalamazoo, if I may ask, and if mm-hmm. I can't ask, that's, you can say, but can't ask that question, but how many kids do you have in there on average at a given time?
Well, our shelter capacity is 13.
Okay.
We have anywhere from 2 to 13.
Okay,
it can vary.
Yeah.
I mean, right now, probably 10 or 11.
Okay.
That was when I left at 9 o'clock this morning.
Right.
That could have changed dramatically by now.
Wow.
It's, you know, every day is a new day, and it keeps things interesting because you don't know what you're going to walk into.
You enjoy
for 12 hours and come back.
You enjoy your job?
Very much, yes.
Awesome. I can tell. Yeah. I can tell.
Well, and you know, really, it's a voluntary program too. So I think that's something people need to understand.
Okay.
If a youth shows
Absolutely.
Up, you know, and decides to leave, we can't hold them there. So
right.
people sometimes have this idea that if they're there, they're there for 3 weeks until our work is done, but it's a voluntary.
And that's a misconception among the youth and families as well, is that it's a lockdown facility, much like the juvenile home, and it's very
right.
different from that.
Okay.
If they don't want to be there, they can walk out the front door.
Very good.
We'll be notifying family and parents and guardians so that they can be kept safe.
Sure.
But we can't physically keep them there.
And that's, you know, that's good news for those kids too, especially if they're suffering with any type of substance mm-hmm. abuse issues.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much of that is. How much of that is a substance abuse issue with these kids who have gotten kicked out of their house? Multiple reasons, you know, I mean,
yeah.
you know, parents can be not right too, and that be the reason why. But do you have some issues with stuff like that too? I imagine.
We do. I mean, any and all of the above.
Okay.
You know,
one of the things that I like to say to illustrate what we're dealing with is,
mm-hmm.
And I like to encourage people to support us financially because they get an idea of just how challenging this is.
It's got
to
be very expensive.
Very
expensive.
This is, we're like a hospital emergency room.
And a hotel. And
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
And so we have everything from children who are basically pretty sound, but are growing up in a single parent family and something happened to dad's in the hospital.
Okay.
You know? And so there's nobody for me to stay with.
Right. No babysitter, no family.
Yes. And to families where they have domestic violence, mentally ill parents, other siblings who have very severe disorders, you know, and just a mountain of challenges, you know. So then we take these kids from these great, you know, this great variety of situations and bring them together. And what we're trying to do is say, you have opportunity.
Yeah.
And you know, however bad your situation is, you've got life ahead of you, and you can do something with this life.
You give them that hope.
You know?
Real
yeah.
hope.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Yeah. It's amazing. So you're right, and it does cost money. So during this Christmas season, you know, you think about that. Think about your own children. You know, if you were a single parent, or unfortunately, God forbid, if something happened where where both parents were killed, and all of a sudden the child is alone, and the child does not, you know, just the trauma of that, the child doesn't want to live with an uncle or an aunt, and so they just go out on their own, and they're 16 years old, and you know the terror of that, I can't imagine that. And for them to have a safe place to go right. to, and for people who are listening too, and for young people who are listening, you know, there's a place where you can go, a safe place, a productive place. You don't have to look and stare at the pain and the things that have happened in your past. There's Jesus Christ. God has a plan for you and for your life. Even in this horrible situation that you may feel that you're in, there is hope. There is great hope for you. And sometimes that starts by getting on this ark. You're not going to be forced to stay. They're not going to force you to do this or force you to do that or force you to go to church or force you to pray. But they want you to be safe, and they'll feed you and clothe you and give you whatever help you want, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so
absolutely.
Really a wonderful program. So you guys always need money for this, right? Everybody needs money to pay their light bills and the people who work
there. Pay our staff.
Yeah, and you got to pay the staff, the people who work there.
Those people are wonderful.
Absolutely.
We have two staff on every, you know, 24 hours a day for the child care kind of work. Then we have staff people who whose job it is to actually meet and talk with the youth and help them figure out what their situation is, where could they make a next step that would be, you know, productive and helpful. And then also after they leave the shelter, because they can only stay 3 weeks.
Okay.
So right away we're starting to say, well, how can things get better when you get out of here, you know? And as Ben said, we're always trying to reunify families.
Yeah.
That's our first and biggest, you know, that's the thing we really want the most. So we'll work with the families, work with the youth. But then sometimes the family situation's just such that's not a good plan for that youth to go back. So then Ben and his staff, they work with the family and maybe extended families or family friends who have stable life situations, you know, and help the youth there. Another thing that we didn't talk about during this time is, but it's pretty important, is we have kids who are 16 and 17. They're not even adults. They shouldn't be out on their own, but they're living in the woods or wherever, couch surfing. And they don't want to come in because they're afraid they're going to be put into foster care if they come in.
I see. Okay.
And so, and then there are other kinds of things. They, you know, other reasons that they're afraid to come in. Maybe they've done something in the community, hurt somebody or something, and they don't think we can help them or will help them.
Okay.
But we will always help. Now, we can't say we will never let somebody go to foster care because there are authorities who have to work on, you know, work that system.
There's some things we don't have a choice about.
Yeah, but we do try, and we actually even place, not very often because of the level of maturity, but we have placed 16 or 17-year-olds in our apartments. We have apartments all over Kalamazoo where we rent the apartments and then the youth can live there. And so if we think that they can manage it, and if they have enough maturity to manage it, then they can live on their own.
Yeah, and enough responsibility, you know, because a huge part about this, you know, I was in Bible study this week and, you know, talking to these guys in jail of all different ages, you know, so much of this is about growing up.
Yeah.
It really is.
Right.
And not just for teenagers, but for people who are 20, for people who are in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s.
Yeah.
People have a hard time growing up.
Right. Yeah.
People have a hard time maturing. So don't feel like this is, you know, because you're a teenager, you're going through this. If you don't address these maturity issues and responsibility issues, your life will just devolve.
Right.
It will just get worse and worse and worse. And if you get married or you start having children and you still don't deal with it, it just transfers on to your children. And then they don't know how to behave properly. They don't know how to grow up. They don't know how to respect one another. You know, how can you respect another person when you don't even respect yourself? You haven't even learned how to love yourself. you know, and you have to learn that first. You know, the same old saying again, you know, you can't give away what you don't have.
Right. Well, life skills. I know our staff works with these youth to teach them basic life skills that maybe you and I take for granted. And from my standpoint, that's where Welcome Home is a huge effort. You know, if people are interested in donating, you know, the things that these youth need to get their life started, to learn how to clean, to learn how to prepare a meal for themselves, all of those things that, you know, maybe all of us sitting here at that table, you know, had the privilege of learning that at a young age, you know, call me and I can tell you what the items are that we need for the ARC.
Yeah, so in case you're just joining us, we're meeting with Fran Denny, who is the director of Catholic Charities here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. And Janine is here. She's a volunteer coordinator. And Ben is the director of ARC Services. So we're kind of focusing on the ARC right now, on some of their needs during this Christmas season, during the Advent season, the holiday season, although they need our help all year long. But think about, you know, we're really trying to think about a reason why we're doing a kind of a Christmas show, Christmas time show is how much great need there is during this time for family. And we kind of have to stand in the gap right now to be the family for these children. And there's no greater thing for us to be able to do than to do that, to help the young people as well as the elderly people too. So, Ben, what else would you like to talk about the ARC?
Well, just I want to build off that for a second first in talking about how families could help, how individuals could help during the holiday season. And we mentioned earlier those youth that find themselves in shelter on Christmas Day because the families are either unable or unwilling or whatever the above reason, they're not able to get there to take the child home to spend time with them.
All right.
We try to provide them with some gifts, with a good meal, as Fran said. Those gifts can consist of much-needed items, such as, you know, socks, underwear, clothing, hats, gloves, mittens. It can also be some of the fun things that you associate with Christmas morning, getting a game to play, getting a book, a journal, any of the, you know, anything that you would kind of use as fun gifts for your own children, we can use. We can also do the shopping. We go out and do shopping for our youth, usually on Christmas Eve, because that's when we know who will be there the next day, or we have a pretty good idea, and put some gifts together for them so that they have those. So we can take the money donations in order to do that shopping as well.
Do you ever have a need for, like, coats and, you know, warm weather? I think about, you know, this weather, you know.
Mostly for coats, though, we need money.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can't. We have people, as I said,
different
such
size
a wide range. That's right.
Right, different size. So you need to take them to Myers. You need to take them to Myers to buy them a coat.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
You know,
thank you.
And
right.
maybe they hate blue or they hate green.
That's right.
I don't want
mm-hmm.
that. You know. And,
right.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not that they're, you know, they're department store, but you're right. Yeah, to get something that they like, something they don't, something that fits.
Right.
You know, it's they're not wearing an extra large when they should be wearing a small or
right
thing.
Well, and I always like to say, you know, because I deal with a lot of donations, and just because someone is living in poverty or is struggling doesn't mean that they have poor taste. You know, everybody, they like the things that we have. They want the things that we have, and not that, you know, we're going to be running to an expensive department store or anything like that, but, you know, they deserve to feel good about themselves as well. So.
Well, and that's part of their, you know, self-esteem too. You know, I mean, every, you know, you don't want to give them rags either to wear.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's,
right.
You don't want to be ridiculous about this. So it's a very good idea, Fran, to, you know, offer money, whatever you can send as a donation. And of course, you can always mark that too. You know, if you want to mark it for warm weather clothes, for these kids or hats, you know, I've often thought about that, but what a great idea that would be is just to give out hats, you know, to give hats to the homeless, to young people, to, you know, because you see people downtown and, you know, they're freezing. You know they're freezing. It's so cold and not just the youth, but older people as well. And, of course, there's There's all different kinds of reasons, and I'm sure, you know, as you'd already mentioned, you know, the fear that they may have about coming into the organization. Whatever fears, whatever you think, you know, is going to happen, you know, please call. Call and, you know, those to alleviate those fears, because we really want to help you.
There's another way funds can really help us, and that's to help train our staff.
Okay.
You know, just recently we've all heard about the Ebola health care and how people have to have protective coverings, and they have to know, the health care providers have to know what they're doing.
Right.
You know, otherwise you can spread this and that. Well, if you can, you just think about this. You are in a not very big room. I don't know how big that our rec room is, our living room is. And it's not very big anyway.
Okay.
And you have 13 teenagers.
Yeah.
Some of whom are, you know, have a lot of problems with relationship things. And you're in there on a snow day. And, you know, you can't really go out. And two adults taking care of them.
Right.
So you can, you know, I mean, just if you try to put yourself in there, you have to know what you're doing,
yeah,
right?
You do.
And so these people are considered child care workers. Their wages are much below what I value their work to be. They are wonderful, caring, kind people. And we need to pay them the best we can. And we desperately need to train them. So yeah. That they don't go out of there all worn out,
right?
At the end of every shift, and they're amazing. They're just very kind and compassionate people, and we owe that to them.
Yeah.
So that they're really well prepared.
And you can really get burned out doing this type of work too, because these kids are in, and a lot of them are in crisis, you know, and that. That right. crisis.
They're all in crisis.
Right. That crisis kind of, and let alone being a teenager, you know, all teenagers are in some way in a type of crisis, because their greatest fear is, you know, I'm going to be on my own. And in the case with these kids, they are on their own.
Right. Yeah.
That reality has come, you know, maybe 5 or 10 years quicker than they ever thought. And it's maybe immediate, you know, you're out of here, you know, and it's like they've got the clothes on their back and that's it. And I agree, Fran, you know, the amount of money you can give is directly going to be able to help people, help them get more workers, help, you know, the quality of the worker. You know, sometimes that's the case too. You know, if you're able to pay somebody $1 or $2 more an hour, you know, nobody's getting rich here. Nobody's, you know, you can go to the Caring Network parking lot and see how many Lexuses they got parked there. I guarantee you there's probably not very many. And if there is one, it's probably used. So the fact of the matter is this, is that, you know, get that out of your mind. You know, give like Jesus Christ would give, not on this, well, what about this or what about that? Or how much are they paying this person? How much are they paying that person? Give as if you're giving it to Jesus himself. Trust. When you put that money in the collection plate, you know, trust. Trust in God. Do something different this Christmas season. Stretch yourself. Do something that only God would do. You know, reach down into your pocket and give that only the way God would give. You know, not $1 or $5, but $100 or $1,000. And there are many who are listening who can give $10,000. And what an impact that has on our community, on our youth, on our elderly, on the unborn, on these mothers, or for a family that just needs someone to sit down and talk to say to them, you know what? It's not okay to live in the woods in a tent with a baby. That's not okay. And they don't know that. They don't know that because they never had parents to teach them that. Now, for you and I, it may seem like, well, that's a crazy thing, but it's a reality. It is a reality of our culture, and it's a reality in our world. And so we're asking you to give, especially during this Christmas season, to give to Catholic Charities, to give to the Ark. And if you want to, you know, specifically give it to young mothers or to volunteer or to training programs or to counseling for parents. If you want to earmark that money, so to speak, for those certain things, you can do that. Or if you'd like to volunteer, you can call Janine or you can call Ben or you can call Fran and you can volunteer. But really, you know, try to go a little bit, do a little bit more. We all need to try to do a little bit more. So in case you're just joining us, you're listening to the Epiphany Radio program on Holy Family Radio. And we're speaking with Fran Denny from the Catholic Charities, as well as Ben, who is the director of ARC Services, who takes care of young people, kids who have run away from home or kids who have gotten kicked out of their homes, as well as Janine, who is their volunteer coordinator. And they're always in need of volunteers.
Right.
But right now, this time of the year, you know, money fits the bill because, you know, you can give clothing and things like that. But if it doesn't fit that kid, if it doesn't fit that teenager, that's not going to work. So sometimes it's better just to, you know, mail a check for $100. And, you know, you just think about how many people just sent $50 or $100. What a wonderful holiday it could make. And I was looking at a statistic here on how many youth were served last year. 189. That's right. A lot of kids. Mm-hmm. 189
that's
kids.
That's just at the shelter. That doesn't count our outreach or our other programs.
So, wow. Mm-hmm. That's a huge deal. So, praise be to God, and thank you for everything you guys do. Now, if you had more money, you could probably do more,
yes,
right?
Yes, we could.
Right.
Yeah. We know there. We have contact with the hundreds of youth that we have contact with, and we know there are many more.
Yeah.
And I want to bring up a topic that might, you know, be very uncomfortable for people to hear.
Well, that's important. We need to hear that.
Well, we have a problem with human trafficking.
Yes.
And one of the things that we find with the homeless youth, they come to us, they have no birth certificate, no legal identification like a driver's license. So they're not getting jobs because they don't even have basic things that they need to get a job or to get an apartment. If you're not 18 years old, you can't even sign a legal document. You can't get a lease, you know? So there are all these problems that confront them just because of their age and without any other consideration, just because of their age and the circumstance of being homeless. And so if you have little skills, no place to live, no one to look out for you, and what do you do to keep yourself going? And I'm very sorry to say that many of the children in this situation sell their own bodies. Yeah. You know, they're just so vulnerable. They're taken advantage of terribly. And it's very important for us to be there and be present and a welcoming community. Some of these youth come to our drop-ins, and they don't want to tell us what they're doing. And some of them won't even in their own minds, they don't want to reconcile what
right.
they're actually doing,
yes.
how they're actually living.
Yes.
They meet some man on the street. They go and stay at his house.
Right.
And lots of things happen. And they
right.
say, well, he's my friend. Well, no,
yeah.
no.
Well, these are predators.
Yeah.
These are people who are predators who prey on these young children, these young people, these teenagers, men and women. Who prey on these kids. And it's disgusting. It's disgusting, and it's shameful for these adults who do this, who prey on the most vulnerable in our community. And we're asking you, my brothers and sisters, to try to help us to end that, to at least alleviate some of this pain, to help some of these children that have been through this, who have been victimized by adults, by the culture, this culture that we have, to try to help them, to get them the counseling they need, you know, to help them to heal from what they've been through. You know,
right.
being forced into prostitution so that they can eat, being forced into prostitution so that they have a safe place to stay. So This is a reality. This is happening in Kalamazoo. It's not just happening in New York City.
Right.
It's not just happening in Cleveland, Ohio. It's happening in Kalamazoo. And it needs to stop. It's happening in small cities. It's happening in Paw Paw. It's happening in St. Joseph. It's happening in Niles. And we need to stop it. And how we stop it is by helping the people at Catholic Charities to be able to combat this, to give these kids a safe place to go and a safe place to stay. So it is a hard subject. It is hard to hear this. Right. It's hard to hear this at Christmas time. But it's a reality of our culture. It's a reality of what's going on in our world. But there's things we can do about it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we do about this, and Ben is really wonderful at this, is connecting with other organizations that have interest that are common to our, you know, our clients.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, Ben has made a good connection with the Anti-Human Trafficking Coalition, a new organization
awesome.
In Kalamazoo. And actually, we've invited them to have their first office in our office building. And Ben, do you want to tell a little bit about what they're doing? And
that'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. So they have been going for a couple of years now, and it's a true grassroots movement.
Wonderful.
Sarah Morley LaCroix, who is a realtor at Jakeway in Kalamazoo, became aware of the issue and felt really passionate about it and got this movement starting along with a lot of other passionate individuals in Kalamazoo. And they it's mostly been about awareness to this point, raising the issue, making sure that the community knows that this is what's going on.
Yeah.
We've partnered with them on many of their events, and we actually have a client of ours who came in who was trafficked, who's male, which is not what people typically think about men being trafficked, but
right.
he was,
mm-hmm.
and he has spoken at some of these events and come to tell his story and help raise the issue of what exactly is happening and how this is happening in our community. So their goal or their mission is to raise the awareness and to help the agencies like us that do this work to continue to do our work and to help these youth that are in a vulnerable position.
Wonderful.
So it's a great fit for us.
And older people,
yeah,
too.
We're very excited to have them be part of our office and to have that connection.
Absolutely. And sometimes what this mm-hmm. turns into, too, when young people, this happens to young people at an early age, it just continues on
yeah.
for the rest
mm-hmm.
of their life. They,
yeah.
They're in this human trafficking and prostitution. And I was listening to a story of a woman who was talking about, you know, that it started early on in her teenage years, you know, abuse. But she woke up one day, you know, and looked in the mirror and she said, "My God, I'm a prostitute."
Mm-hmm.
You know, what has happened? And, it's up to us.
Right.
It really is up to us to reach out and to know that these services are available for anyone, you know, anyone who's in trouble, these, you know, counseling services and things like that. Catholic Charities of Kalamazoo, you guys do so much wonderful good for our community. And I hope this radio program is able to give you guys, I know we try to have you on two or three times a year, and especially this time of the year, the Christmas season, the Advent season, the need is that much greater, where people really need to feel, you know, this is a time when Christ comes, right, as this baby. And it's a time of conversion. It's a time for people's hearts to convert, to become that person you always wanted to be, you know, become that superhero to a young person. To try to help them, or an elderly person, or a young mother whose family has totally rejected them. And for us to pray for those families, too,
right.
that are sick, that have rejected their own children, too. Go ahead,
in a very beautiful way, our Mother Church gives us these. We have ordinary times, and then we have these special times,
right.
like Advent.
That's right, yeah.
And so this is a time when there's a special call to us to
yes.
think about, you know, your time your days are numbered.
Amen.
You don't know what they are.
Amen.
But there's no time like right now to keep walking that path and think about how you're, what you're doing.
Yeah, and we get to go through this Advent season for most people 60, 70, 80 times. We go through this Advent season. And we have to ask ourselves, am I becoming closer to God or am I walking away from God? Am I helping my brothers and sisters? Am I my neighbor's keeper? Am I my brother's keeper or not? And who is my brother? Right? Who is my brother? Well, my brother and sister is not just my fellow Catholic.
Right.
My brother and sister is my fellow human being.
Right.
No matter what the color of their skin or where they go to school or where they grew up or what age they are or what religion they practice or what tradition they practice or what they have done. We are our brother's keepers. And as Catholics, in a very special way, we must reach out. That's our responsibility. That's our responsibility to do that. So I'm asking you to be generous. Be very generous to Catholic Charities, especially this time of the year, with heating assistance. So they've got heating assistance programs going on. And most of these people, when people say, well, they can pay their own energy bill. The fact of the matter is their power is off. They don't have any heat. The house is cold. They want to get the power turned back on. And most of the time, they only get a couple $100s. And praise be to God, they get the power back on for a month. You know? And there's people who need this. And there's elderly people. These aren't just people who are lazy and don't want to work.
Right.
These are people who are in trouble. You know? People who need help. And so we have to think about that. You know, an elderly person who has no more family, has no one to help her. All she has is her little home. And maybe she only has another year or two to live. And all she needs is heat for her house. And she keeps it at 62 degrees in there. You think about that. There's people like that out there.
Right.
So be generous. Be generous to Catholic Charities. And you can go to their website at ccdok.org and be generous to the ARC and all the programs that we've got going on. So we've got about 7 more minutes to go. Fran or Ben or Janine, anything?
And I would like to say, you know, right now sometimes people, you know, because of the season that we are in,
yes,
people get very busy.
You bet.
And we can always use volunteers this weekend. Or in a couple weeks, St. Martin's Youth Group is going to come out and rake or shovel snow, one or the other, depending on this beautiful weather.
Okay.
But, you know, any gesture is appreciated. I have a volunteer who told me when we met, you know, she was very passionate about the ARC because she was a troubled youth. And, you know, she is volunteering right now on a weekly basis, helping us with our donation room at the ARC shelter, you know, organizing it, making it feel, you know, like a great place to visit when you come in as a youth and you need things. So it's not a, you know, dark, dingy closet. It's a room that, you know, they feel like, okay, I can pick out some items here. So she's doing that. Providing a meal at the ARC would be great. Keep in mind that, you know, our numbers change, you know, so you could have a full, be at full capacity or the next week, not so much. So it does change on a weekly basis.
We had a gentleman come to the agency he said, I really want to help, and he is a successful businessman. And I said, are you thinking about the board? And he said, no, I want to help, but my life is so busy already.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid it will take more time away from my family. So we talked a little bit, and this is another thing that we have. You don't have to fit into our cookie cutter. And what we came up with for him and his family was once a month, they cook a meal for the youth at the shelter.
Yeah.
And they call a day before and say, are there 13 kids there or are there 4 kids there? And they make that dinner together.
Wow.
And then they come and bring it together into the shelter. And it's a great thing. You know, they're teaching their children about giving.
Right.
Yeah. It's a family activity. And then the kids at the shelter know that somebody – cares enough to do that.
Another family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or they can always write a check too, right? They can always
sure. That's but right.
But
absolutely.
It's very impactful, and I can tell that passion that you have, Fran, about how the beauty of that of giving like that is really important. You know, because that truly is our time, the amount of prayer that we offer, the amount of just sitting back and thinking about our own families. You know, is there somebody in my family who might need this, who might need the art services, or somebody at work who I need to, because, you know, you never know at work. Somebody comes up to you and says, listen, I got a crazy program, things going on here. So-and-so is just, left out and said, listen, I know somebody who you can call. I know you can call the ARC. I know you can call Catholic Charities, and they can, or someone who's thinking about volunteering, right?
Absolutely.
Janine, somebody who says, you know, I need some hours volunteering. And, of course, they need to be pre-qualified and things like that, and that's all good. But just to be able to do that stuff, how rewarding. Yes, Fran, go ahead.
You know, you've been very generous over this time saying how, you know, how you appreciate the work that we do. And I just want to say that we really appreciate all of the support, the prayers, the money, the volunteering that people give to us. And actually, you know, we, like you said, we're not going to buy Lexus cars on in this work. But I'll tell you, we feel very blessed.
Amen.
We go home some nights worrying, other nights we really feel like we know we made some difference and we were doing good work. And I'd like to just, for my parting statement, to tell about the ARC Christmas Party.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's a beautiful thing. We have it at a little while before Christmas, not on Christmas Day. And we invite all the staff, volunteers, and the youth who are staying there. And staff bring their kids, and I think I brought my dog a few years. And other people have bring their dogs with them too. So anyway, we're all together with the kids. And the kids, youth, during the day, they decorate. And they have, the most beautiful one was that one where they had all blue and white. It was, snowflakes. No, it was just beautiful. They decorate that whole room, and there are, Christmas lights around, and then they have a great meal. And then we do things together, and we all split up. So, people who are, who don't often get to interact are, me being one, I feel very blessed to be able to be at this. And we'll take the simplest things like graham crackers and marshmallows, and we'll have a little contest. We'll be in groups, and we use all the cookie trays we have in the kitchen, and we make a little gingerbread house.
Nice.
And we have such a great and everybody's working together, and then we all go around and,
it's great.
And ooh and ah over everything.
Yeah.
And it's a very warm and loving time for us to have together.
That's beautiful. And that's a good way of ending our program, with the Christmas party that you guys have with all the kids there gathered around. And I want to thank you, Ben, for being here.
Thank
and the
you
wonderful
for
work that
us.
You do at the ARC. And Janine, thank you for all the work you do and coordinating the volunteers. And so this Christmas season, think about Catholic Charities in the Diocese of Kalamazoo, all the beautiful work they do. You can go to their website at ccdok.org, and you can give on there. Many ways to give, and just try to make this the greatest Christmas ever for other people. May God bless you.
You have been listening to Epiphany with your host, Deacon Louis Zemlich, on Holy Family Radio. If you have suggestions or comments, you can email us at epiphany@holyfamilyradio.net. Also, if you would like to listen to this program again or share it with a friend, Audio copies are available online at holyfamilyradio.net. Thank you for listening.